Hi, I'm Drew Davis, Operations Manager of Family Talk, and we hope you had a very Merry Christmas and that you have a Happy New Year.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, and we are joined in the studio with our co-host, Dr. Meg Meeker, and my dad, psychologist and best-selling author, Dr. James Dobson. And today, we have a special Christmas treat for our listeners.
We sure do. You know, Christmas has always been my favorite time of the year. Ryan, you know that, and I'm sure Dr. Meeker, you feel the same way about it. And we thought it would be a good idea today to celebrate this holiday with our listeners in a very unique way.
Yes, and I'm excited to bring this gift to our listeners. The gift we're about to share won't come in a box wrapped in bright paper or topped with a festive bow. It's a powerful and heartwarming story that the three of us are going to read, and I think that everyone in our listening audience will love it. The story was written by Kathy Miller and appeared in a book compiled by Dr. Joe Wheeler called Christmas in My Heart, Book 2. It's used with permission by Miller and Wheeler. So from our broadcast team at Family Talk, here is our Christmas present to you.
There had never been a winter like this. Stella watched from the haven of her armchair as gusts of snow whipped themselves into a frenzy. She feared to stand close to the window, unreasonably afraid that somehow the blizzard might be able to reach her there, sucking her breathless out into the chaos. The houses across the street were all but obliterated by the fury of wind-borne flakes. Absently, the elderly woman straightened the slipcovers on the arms of her chair, her eyes glued to the spectacle beyond the glass. Dragging her gaze away from the window, she forced herself up and out of the chair and waited a moment for balance to reassert itself. Straightening her back against the pane that threatened to keep her stooped, she set out determinedly for the kitchen. In the doorway in the next room, she paused, her mind blank, wondering what purpose had propelled her there. From the vent above the stove, the scream of the wind threatened to funnel the afternoon storm directly down into the tiny house. Stella focused her brown eyes on the stovetop clock. The 3:15 time reminded her that she had headed in there to take something out of the freezer for her supper. Another lonely meal that she didn't feel like preparing, much less eating. Suddenly, she grabbed the handle of the refrigerator and leaned her forehead against the cold white surface of the door as a wave of self-pity threatened to drown her. It was too much to bear. Losing her beloved Dave this summer, how was she to endure the pain, the daily nothingness? She felt the familiar ache in her throat and squeezed her eyes tightly shut to hold the tears at bay.
Stella drew herself upright and shook her head in silent chastisement. She reiterated her litany of thanks. She had her health, her tiny home, an income that should suffice for the remainder of her days. She had her looks, her television programs, her needlework. There were the pleasures of her garden in the spring and summer, walks through the wilderness park at the end of her street, and the winter birds that brightened the feeders outside her kitchen picture window. Not today, though, she thought ruefully, as the blizzard hurled itself against the eastern wall of the kitchen. Oh, Dave, I miss you so. I never minded storms when you were here. The sound of her own voice echoed hollowly in the room. She turned on the radio that stood on the counter next to a neatly descending row of wooden canisters. A sudden joyful chorus of Christmas music filled the room, but it only served to deepen her loneliness.
Stella had been prepared for her husband's death. Since the doctor's pronouncement of terminal cancer, they had both faced the inevitable, striving to make the most of their remaining time together. Dave's financial affairs had always been in order. There were no new burdens in her widow's estate. It was just the awful loneliness, the lack of purpose to her days. They had been a childless couple. It had been their choice. Their lives had been full and rich, and they had been content with busy careers and with each other. They had many friends. Had. That was the operative word these days. It was bad enough losing the one person you loved with all your heart. But over the past few years, she and Dave repeatedly had to cope with the deaths of their friends and relations. They were all of an age, the age when human bodies began giving up and dying. Face it, they were old. And now, on this first Christmas without Dave, Stella would be on her own. Mabel and Jim had invited her to spend the holidays with them in Florida, but somehow that had seemed worse than staying home alone. Not only would she miss her husband, but she would miss the snow and the winter and the familiarity of home.
With shaky fingers, she lowered the volume of the radio so that the music became a muted background. She glanced toward the fridge briefly, then decided that a hot bowl of soup would be more comforting fare this evening. To her surprise, she saw that the mail had come. She hadn't even heard the creak of the levered mail slot in the front door. Poor mailman out in this weather. Neither hail nor sleet. With the inevitable wince of pain, she bent to retrieve the damp white envelopes from the floor. Moving into the living room, she sat on the piano bench to open them. They were mostly Christmas cards, and her sad eyes smiled at the familiarity of the traditional scenes and at the loving messages inside. Carefully, her arthritic fingers arranged them among the others clustered on the piano top. In her entire house, they were the only seasonal decoration. The holiday was less than a week away, but she just didn't have the heart to put up a silly tree or even set up the stable that Dave had built with his own hands. Suddenly engulfed by the loneliness of it all, Stella buried her lined face in her hands, lowering her elbows to the piano keys in a harsh, abrasive discord, and let the tears come. How would she possibly get through this Christmas and the winter beyond it? She longed to climb into bed and bury herself in a cocoon of blankets, not emerging until her friends and spring returned.
The ring of the doorbell echoed the high-pitched, discordant piano notes and was so unexpected that Stella had to stifle a small scream of surprise. Now, who could possibly be calling on her on a day like today? Wiping her eyes, she noticed for the first time how dark the room had become. The doorbell sounded a second time. Using the piano for leverage, she raised herself upright and headed for the front hall, switching on the living room light as she passed. She opened the wooden door and stared through the screened window of the storm door in consternation. On her front porch, buffeted by waves of wind and snow, stood a strange young man whose hatless head was barely visible above the large carton in his arms. She peered beyond him to the driveway, but there was nothing about the small car to give clue to his identity. Returning her gaze to him, she saw that his hands were bare and his eyebrows had lifted in an expression of hopeful appeal that was fast disappearing behind the frost foaming on the glass. Summoning courage, the elderly lady opened the door slightly, and he stepped sideways to speak into the space.
Mrs. Thornhope?
She nodded affirmation, her extended arm beginning to tremble with cold and the strain of holding the door against the wind. He continued predictably.
I have a package for you.
Curiosity drove warning thoughts from her mind. She pushed the door far enough to enable the stranger to shoulder it and stepped back into the foyer to make room for him. He entered, bringing with him the frozen breath of the storm. Smiling, he placed his burden carefully on the floor and stood to retrieve an envelope that protruded from his pocket. As he handed it to her, a sound came from the box. Stella actually jumped. The man laughed in apology and bent to straighten up the cardboard flaps, holding them open in an invitation for her to peek inside. She advanced cautiously, then turned her gaze downward.
Sorry about that.
It was a dog. To be more exact, a golden Labrador retriever puppy. As the gentleman lifted its squirming body up into his arms, he explained.
This is for you, ma'am. He's 6 weeks old and completely housebroken.
The young pup wiggled in happiness at being released from captivity and thrust ecstatic, wet kisses in the direction of his benefactor's chin.
We were supposed to deliver him on Christmas Eve, but the staff at the kennels start their holidays tomorrow. Hope you don't mind an early present.
Shock had stolen her ability to think clearly. Unable to form coherent sentences, she stammered, "But who?"
The young fellow set the animal down on the doormat between them and then reached out a finger to tap the envelope that she was still holding.
There's a letter in there that explains everything, pretty much. The dog was bought last July while her mother was still pregnant. It was meant to be a Christmas gift. If you'll just wait a moment, there are some things in the car I'll get for you.
Before she could protest, he was gone, returning a moment later with a huge box of dog food, a leash, and a book entitled Caring for Your Labrador Retriever. All this time, the puppy had sat quietly at her feet, panting happily as his brown eyes watched her. Unbelievably, the stranger was turning to go. Desperation forced the words from her lips.
But who? Who bought it?
Your husband, ma'am.
Pausing in the open doorway, his words were nearly snatched away by the wind that tousled his hair. And then he was gone. It was all in the letter. Forgetting the puppy entirely at the sight of the familiar handwriting, Stella had walked like a somnambulist to her chair by the window. Unaware that the little dog had followed her, she forced her tear-filled eyes to read her husband's words. He had written it 3 weeks before his death and had left it with the kennel owners to be delivered along with the puppy as his last Christmas gift to her. It was full of love and encouragement and admonishments to be strong. He vowed that he was waiting for the day when she would join him, and he had sent this young animal to keep her company until then. Remembering the little creature for the first time, she was surprised to find him quietly looking up at her, his small, panting mouth resembling a comic smile. Stella put the pages aside and reached down for the bundle of golden fur. She thought that he would be heavier, but he was only the size and weight of a sofa pillow, and so soft and warm. She cradled him in her arms, and he licked her jawbone, then cuddled up into the hollow of her neck. The tears began anew at this exchange of affection, and the dog endured her crying without moving. Finally, Stella lowered him to her lap, where he regarded her solemnly. She wiped vaguely at her wet cheeks, then somehow mustered a smile.
Well, little guy, I guess it's you and me.
His pink tongue panted in agreement. Stella's smile strengthened, and her gaze shifted sideways to the window. Dusk had fallen, and the storm seemed to have spent the worst of its fury. Through the fluffy flakes that were now drifting down at a gentler pace, she saw the cheery Christmas lights that edged the roof lines of her neighbors' homes. The strains of joy to the world wafted in from the kitchen.
Suddenly, Stella felt the most amazing sensation of peace and benediction washing over her. It was like being enfolded in a loving embrace. Her heart beat painfully, but it was with joy and wonder, not grief or loneliness. She need never feel alone again. Returning her attention to the dog, she spoke to him.
You know, fella, I have a box in the basement that I think you'd like. There's a tree in it and some decorations and lights that will impress you like crazy. And I think I can find that old stable down there, too. What do you say we go hunt it up?
The puppy barked happily in agreement, as if he understood every word. Isn't that a great story?
Oh, you know, it's so moving. And for those of us who have Christmas without loved ones, it just reminds you of the joy that Christ can infuse into your days when you least expect it.
I want to tell you what it reminds me of and why I guess I love this story. My dad died on December the 4th, 1977. Mm-hmm. And that meant my mother went through Christmas alone. She came out to see us, but then she returned to an empty house. And she had a little dog. It was my dad's dog. We called him Benji. And he was her comfort during this time. And I could envision my mother. I know because of what she wrote. She wrote poetry about my dad during that time. And she wrote about the tears that fell. And that Benji stood at the top of the stairs, looking downward to where the garage door was, hoping that his master would return. I can just envision that cold winter. My mother talked about the howls of the winter and how it depressed her. And so we came to Kansas City, actually Olathe, Kansas, where they lived, and brought my mom out to live near us where we could comfort her and be with her. But that Christmas was embodied by what we just read. And I wasn't there to see my mom, but I'm sure Stella and my mother had an awful lot in common.
Yes, I also
like this story because it's not only entertainment and sweet for those of us who are not dealing with tragedy and pain during this time of the year, but it's also a story of hope for those of our listeners who are going through tough times. And there are a lot of them. We have lost 3 good friends in the last month. The holiday season can be so difficult sometimes. I know of many people who have lost loved ones close to Christmas. It seems to come at that time of the year. I'm not sure why. Even my producer behind the glass lost his grandmother on Christmas Day over 10 years ago. So many other people I know are dealing with very tough issues with loneliness and loss. Hard times, painful times, seem harder and more painful at this time of the year. But there is hope.
There is hope because we serve a God who loved us enough to send his Son to die for us on the cross. There's hope because the sacrifice that Christ completed on the cross paved the way for us to not only enjoy the forgiveness of our sins, but also an eternal life in a place where we will have the chance to see our loved ones again. That sacrifice means that one day there will be no more tears, no more pain, and no more suffering. Did you understand that? Because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, one day there will be no more tears and no more pain and no more suffering.
You bet. And you know, Dr. Dobson and Ryan, that's why we get so excited to celebrate the birth of our Savior. You know, I know there's some debate as to whether Christ was actually born on December 25th or not, but at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter. What matters is that at some point, each of us realize how significant it was for all of us that Christ came to earth at all. You know, he came because he loves you, Dr. Dobson, and you, Ryan, and me. And to each of the listeners in our audience, he loves you too. So much that he gave up the beauty and perfection of heaven, a place where there are no tears, pain, or suffering, to shed tears and feel pain and experience horrendous suffering on your behalf because he loves you.
Dr. Meeker, let me repeat that to just make sure that every listener heard it. Jesus Christ loves you, and he wants to be in a relationship with you. I've never understood why, and I don't understand why As David said, who is man that thou art mindful of him? We're so flawed in so many ways, and yet he wants to forgive us of our sins and to walk with us all the days of our lives. He doesn't want you to be alone and to feel pain today. He wants you to know that he's here for you. Now, that doesn't mean that the pain and suffering will go away immediately. As long as we're on this earth, we will experience tears and pain and suffering. Jesus even promised his disciples that they would suffer when he said in John 16:33, "In this world you will have tribulation." But he didn't leave it that way. Jesus finished that passage by saying, "In this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." It's powerful. Jesus overcame the pain, suffering, and death of the world for you. We will live someplace with him in eternity if we'll give our hearts to him and be fully forgiven from all iniquity. And that's the hope that we're talking about today.
So the question that we want to leave you with today is this. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord? Are you in a relationship with him? If not, that can be fixed right now. If you would like to have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, say this prayer with me. Dear Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. And I know that you died on the cross so I wouldn't have to pay for those sins. Please forgive me for all the wrong things that I've done and come live in my heart. And through you, I will try not to do all those things again. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for loving my family. Thank you for the sacrifice you made so that I can accept you into my heart. Please come live in my heart and be my Lord and Savior.
And you know, friends, that's the most important prayer you can ever say. And I just want to encourage anyone listening that if you said that prayer, we want to hear from you. We want to pray with you. We want to encourage you in your new relationship with God. And we want to teach you who God is and how much he loves you. So please reach out and contact us. We'd like to send you a free copy of the Gospel of John so that you can read more about Jesus and more about his love for you. Please call us at 877-732-6825 or visit our website, drjamesdobson.org.
Thank you all so much for joining us today on this Christmas program. And for now, this is Dr. James Dobson, Dr. Meg Meeker, and Ryan Dobson wishing you a Happy New Year.
Family Talk is not affiliated with Focus on the Family.
Hello, everyone. This is James Dobson, and I have some great news to share with you today. Friends of Family Talk have stepped forward with a generous matching grant that doubles any gift that we receive from you this month. That means that your donation will reach twice as many families and have twice the impact for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now is a vital time for the ministry of Family Talk, as the money that we receive before the end of the year sets the stage for the ministry impact that we can have in the upcoming new year. We plan the entire year based on the donations that come in from now through December 31st. And we'd love to be able to expand and reach more families than ever in 2015. So I hope you will make a contribution today. You can donate by visiting drjamesdobson.org or by calling us at 877-732-6825. That's 877-732-6825. Merry Christmas, everyone, and as always, thank you for listening to Family Talk. Hello, everyone. This is James Dobson with Family Talk, and I have a very special offer for all of you in a brand new collection of 8 DVDs titled Building a Family Legacy. I tackle common parenting questions and offer advice and encouragement based on the firm foundation of biblical principles. The Building a Family Legacy 8 DVD series is my gift to you to say thank you for your suggested donation of $50 or more. Now, I will accept no royalty or any portion of this donation. Every dollar will go to help support Family Talk. Request your copy by visiting drjamesdobson.org or call us at 877-732-6825. And thank you for your continued support and for listening to Family Talk.